Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. The second thing that the Prophet forbade alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam is the price of a prostitute. And we know that fornication is a major sin, and it's any illegal sexual act, intercourse between two who are not permitted to have this. And the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that what a prostitute earns is haram and it's not permissible. And we all know this by default. So one would say, why mention this? So that the Prophet shows you that even if someone says or claims that she's in need, she has to feed herself, this is not permissible, even if she dies out of starvation. Though there is difference opinion among scholars whether if a woman was stranded and she was about to die and she would not be allowed to eat or to drink unless she commits this heinous act and sin, in this case it is permissible for her, because saving her life, protecting her life is more important than anything else, especially in such a case. And of course this is hypothetical, alhamdulillah. Muslims inshallah don't fall in such major sin that would make them among the filthy few who commit such a heinous sin. The third thing in the hadith, the Prophet forbade from the cost or the fee of a kahin. And in the Arabic it's called hulwan, meaning that it's something sweet, easy to come. Why is it called hulwan? Because is the priest or the kahin or the soothsayer or the fortune teller, is he doing effort? He's just sitting there. You have very dark future, or you have a very beautiful future. You will get married, inshallah, to a rich woman, or you will going to get divorced, or you are going to die in few years' time. He's not doing anything, he's just selling talk. So the Prophet said that this is like sweets because it doesn't involve any work. And the Prophet tells us that whatever you take for such an act is completely prohibited. Not only that, pretending or predicting the future is shirk, because only Allah knows the future. And it is considered to be one of the major sins depending on your belief. It can be a major sin to believe a fortune teller or a soothsayer, and it can be kufr and shirk. The Prophet tells us, alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever goes to a priest or to a fortune teller, Allah will not accept 40 days of prayer from him. In another hadith, whoever goes to a fortune teller or to a priest, someone who predicts, he has disbelieved in the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have two punishments. One, Allah will not accept 40 prayers. The second, Allah would nullify your Islam altogether. When would this take place and when would that take place? Scholars say, if a person goes without believing, then Allah will not accept 40 days of prayer. Example, those who read the zodiac, the signs. What is your sign? He said, my sign is, I'm scorpion. I am this, I am that. Okay, if someone every morning opens a newspaper and says, oh, don't go out today, there will be an accident. And he said, wallahi, ya akhi, this is nonsense. I don't believe in this. And he goes to work. Reading it means that Allah will not accept prayers of you 40 days. Just reading it. You did not believe. Now one says, okay, if Allah is not going to accept the prayers of 40 days, alhamdulillah, why should I pray? Khalas, for 40 days, I will sit, no fajr, no maghrib, nothing. I will not pray. I said, ah, wait. But if you pray, Allah will not reward you, but you will still be a Muslim. So watch out. The other person reads the zodiacs and it says that there will be an accident, don't go to work. And says, I'm not going out today. Why? Because they said that there will be an accident. No one knows the future. Says, no, no, no. They said there will be an accident, I will not go. This is shirk. Whoever does this nullified his Islam and Iman. So this is a very dangerous thing that we all should be careful not to fall into insha'Allah. I think that we will take a few questions in the remaining time because we don't have time for the following hadith. Any questions? Yes, akhi.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
My question is that why is it allowed to gift the animal, that is the cat or the dog, but it is not allowed to sell or buy the animal?
Okay, very good question. Now, there is a difference between necessity and normal life. A person who has a dog, he is not forced to sell it. He has something that he is allowed to use if needed. If he doesn't need it, he has to get rid of it. Now, when he has or when he gets puppies, selling it is haram because of the hadith. For me, buying it is haram if I can find it elsewhere. No, I'd like this one. I love the color of this one. No, this one, my friend, my neighbor, can give me another puppy, but it's a different breed, a different color. Say, I don't like the color. I like this one. This is not necessity. This is yani a luxury. So if I look around, akhi, I need a shepherd dog. I need a dog. Anyone has a puppy? Anyone has a dog to give me for free? May Allah reward him. And no one is willing to. But the brother has, another brother has, and they say, we want money. Akhi, it's haram to sell. Haram between you and Allah. For me, I want money. I don't care. Astaghfirullah, you don't care? Yes. I look around, I can't find anyone to give me the dog, and I need the dog. And I'm entitled to have a dog. In this case, it becomes halal for you. Like in the case of wudu water. I don't have water, and the person that has water is not willing to give it to me for free. He's sinful. Now, am I obliged to buy water? Yes, I have to make wudu. And the water is available, but I have to pay for it. Then I have to pay for it. He's sinful, and I'm rewarded. So I hope this answers your question. Yes, Kareem.
Sheikh, what is the ruling on using the wild animals in the zoos as well as in circus as an amusement, buying and selling them?
Well, again, we have to go to the 7 conditions of selling them. Is buying them something of amusement? The answer is yes. Now, does the lions and tigers fall under the same category of the dog? It's an issue of dispute, because some say that they all share the characteristic of having teeth and having claws, etc. And some say that the hadith specifically mentioned the dog, and this is the most authentic to my knowledge and opinion. Now, is having a circus something permissible, or it's just a waste of money, waste of time, lots of haram things involved? This is definitely the case. Having a circus, is it something useful? It is entertaining, but is this kind of entertainment halal? In the sense, spending that much time and spending that much money. I'm not talking about the mixing of the genders and the nudity and the music. All of this is haram by default. But if someone is not doing this as part, this is not something considered to be useful. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ used to seek refuge in Allah from 4 things. Among them, knowledge that is not beneficial. وَعِلْمٍ لَا يَنْفَعْ. This is عِلْمٍ لَا يَنْفَعْ. To train a lion or to train an elephant, or what kind of amusement a Muslim would pay money to watch and allow others to do this for him. Therefore, to me, I do not believe that this is permissible. Now, in the case of a zoo, it might be permissible because in a zoo, it's something educational. When you take your children, when you take the school to a zoo and show them the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, this might have value, and it would be like having birds in a cage. Entertainment with education and to value Allah's creation. So, inshallah, this would be permissible, providing that the other criterias can be included, and that is, what is halal, what is haram, unless there is an evidence that states that this is not permissible, then in this case, inshallah, we have the original permissibility, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.